I'm Tara.
And I'm Ashley.
Each week, two movies battle it out in a bracket-style competition to find the ultimate romantic comedy.
This is The Trope Report. Hey, Ash.
Hey, Tara.
This week, we're discussing...
Before we even get into it...
What?
You're a 10. You're a 10!
Oh, my God. That's so sweet. Thank you. I know. And you're a 10, too.
Everyone's a 10.
Okay. This week, we're discussing 13 Going on 30 versus She's Out of My League.
13 Going on 30 is our 8 seed with 65%. Not bad.
And She's Out of My League is a 9 seed with a 57%. Pretty even here, people.
Yeah.
I guess
this is our middle of the bracket.
Yeah. And I also want to just say, I don't know if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're questioning, why is your face puffy? Why are your eyes red? Why do you look bad? Because I just fucking finished 13 Going on 30 and I was sobbing.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Do you not cry during this movie?
I don't think I did.
Ash, every time I watch 13 Going on 30, every single time I am crying throughout the whole thing. It is so emotional to me. I mean... Let's just go into 13 Going on 30 first.
Okay.
Let's discuss. I have to, just because especially I just finished it.
Okay.
Oh my God, it gets me. Give me a synopsis.
Okay. Jenna Rink is turning 13, and all she wants is to be in with the cool girls. When they prank her at her own birthday party, she makes a wish to be 30, flirty, and thriving. She wakes up as her 30-year-old self. She has to grapple with the woman she's become and the boy she left behind to become her.
Okay, guys, she just basically stood up to read that because she was so into it. That was really good, Ash.
I was proud of that one.
Like I was saying, this is so freaking emotional for me. They balance so many things in this movie. It is fun. It is flirty. It is thriving, obviously.
Yes.
But it is so emotional. Okay, she is one day 13 and all of a sudden the next day 30, and like she doesn't remember anything between those ages, and so she's just this 13-year-old girl stuck in a 30-year-old body, and like isn't that all of us, guys? Like this just hits so close to home, and you're just seeing that she's regretting everything that she did.
Yeah.
Like she became a bad person and she's looking back and being like, how can I change what I've done?
She's realizing who she became with the path that she was going down.
Oh,
and she doesn't
God.
Like who she's looking at. She's lost like all the things that made her her.
Yes. Let's break this down.
Well, let's start with the fact that Jennifer Garner is amazing in it.
Yes, who doesn't like
Jennifer Garner? Now she's our mother figure. But back then, she's just funny and... flirty and thriving.
Yeah. I mean, that 100% goes for the whole movie. Fun, flirty, thriving. I made a note. I don't think that anyone else could have done this movie. Like, she makes it wholesome. She is so adorable.
Very earnest. She plays it so earnest.
Yeah. Like, it's just, oh my God, it's so good.
But also, the male lead, Mark Ruffalo, I thought was amazing in this.
My God, yes.
And look, I know you didn't like Poor Things, but can you agree that Mark Ruffalo was the best part of that movie?
Yes, he was hilarious in it.
I thought he was amazing in it.
Yeah.
I was I've never seen Mark Ruffalo be so funny. The crazy outfits. I loved it.
Yeah. He is fantastic in anything he does. The two of them together was just sparks flying. He didn't even have to say that many words, and every emotion on his face spoke volumes.
Why isn't he in more things?
I don't know.
Like, he should be in everything. He should be in rom-coms.
But I can respect that so much. I hate how they're just recasting everyone in everything nowadays.
That's true.
And he's just doing what he wants. Gotta respect that.
I would love to see him as a father in, like, a coming-of-age movie.
Yeah, he would be great. You know what? In like I love Josh Duhamel, right? Mm. But in Love, Simon, he could have played that wonderfully too.
Wasn't the stars of the Adam Project, Jennifer Garner and Mark Ruffalo, now that I'm thinking about it. They played,
it might have been.
They played Ryan Reynolds' parents. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I never saw that, but I feel like I saw hubbub about that.
Yeah, they did. They reunited for that movie.
Oh my God. Okay, get into it. Her whole thing, she's 13 years old, and she literally, quote, I don't want to be original, I want to be cool. Mm-hmm. So her and Matt are besties. They live next to each other. They're freaking adorable. He's unapologetically himself.
Just
doing
two
his
little
thing.
Dorks.
Two dorks. And who doesn't love a freaking dork? But no, she has other plans for herself. She doesn't want to be original. And I would consider being original is cool. But no, mm-hmm. She wants to be popular. She wants to fit in. She wants to be part of Tom's posse. Yeah. Which
what? Oh, no, did you see the same thing that I did about the six?
What?
Chicks?
Well, yes. Like, everyone's famous, and it's Brie Larson in the
and Ashley Benson.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't notice that. I looked up the cast as I normally do, and I said, what is Brie Larson doing in the cast list?
No,
I did not recognize her.
I recognized that like a couple of years ago, but I definitely didn't recognize that when I first saw it, obviously. But this is just heartbreaking. Like, I'm not kidding when I say, like, yes, I'm crying at the very end. Hello. Okay, I'm not going to jump to it yet. But I'm literally crying throughout the whole thing. Mm. So I'm getting so emotional when she has her birthday party and she invites the six chicks or whatever. And they are so rude to Matt, to her. They're basically pranking her, saying, like, do our homework and we'll be friends with you. But they don't care about her. Mm-hmm. And when she says to Matt that do whatever you want, Matt, it's not like we need a play-by-play, and he's so hurt, runs mm-hmm. upstairs, I'm getting emotional again. Like, I'm telling you the whole time. This is why I'm panicking that the lightheartedness is going to be low.
Yeah, the early scenes really hit, like, a sore spot for anyone who's been a teenage girl before.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like, going through middle school and just being so afraid that, like, any of these girls could be talking behind your back. They could be playing you. And just mm-hmm. to see, I mean,
just
these
the insecurities that come with middle school.
Yeah.
High
these
school,
girls tell
they?
Her, like, go in the closet. We're going to send in the hot boy. Mm-hmm. And he's going to, like, have his way with you. That was a weird turn of phrase, by the way, that they did
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
this was the 80s, though. If we learned anything from 16 Candles, anything happens.
She had hope that this boy liked her, and then it was all a prank, and she's just devastated.
Ugh, I know.
As anyone would be. And she
okay.
read the magazine and wished to be 30, flirty, and thriving.
But before that, sorry, I have to jump back.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that because it is her birthday, Matt came in with a birthday gift for her.
Yeah, it's so
he
sweet.
He built her dream house, which is this big pink mansion, and inside it's cutouts of them
Aww.
Together, basically, like, just hanging out. It's all personalized just for her. It would have taken him hours to do this. He puts on magical pixie dust, wishing dust, and it is the most adorable thing. I was crying again during that mm-hmm. scene, because you just know what's coming. And yes, that's when she goes into the closet, does the 7 minutes in heaven or whatever it is. And she's just like, I wish that I was 30, flirty, and thriving and out of here, because she's miserable in high school. She wakes up and she's 30, obviously.
Yeah. In her own 30-year-old body.
Yes.
She is herself in 17 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's, of course, like, what the hell is going on? She's very confused. There's a guy in her apartment, which you find out is her boyfriend, who's, like, a famous mm-hmm. hockey player. She basically runs out the door. This scene is very comical. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She's freaking out. She runs out the door in her slip because she doesn't know what's going on. And
which, this is the other thing, when you say slip. Every outfit in this movie is so iconic. Like,
True.
Seriously. True. Every single, the slip is iconic. Her dress from the dance from doing Thriller, iconic. When she has the two buns with the chopsticks in it and she has that whole outfit.
Yes, I loved that.
Iconic. She goes out and meets Matt at one point. She has pajamas and then a cute cardigan. Iconic. Mm-hmm. Everything. She wears a corset out at one point. I mean, the list goes on. Sorry, yeah. I had to say.
No, you're so right. Because, well, like, I guess the movie was trying to show us through fashion that you just take more risks when you're 13 and you just want to do what is fun and, like, makes you feel good and you're not worried about what other people, you know, like.
Yes.
She was just being young.
Yes, I feel like
got
over
some
time.
Great outfits from it.
And this is the same with me, like completely over time. When I was younger, I love clothing. I have a shopping addiction. But when I was younger, I would try and do all these crazy things. I'm wearing, like I've said before on the show, layered necklaces, collar on collar, all different things, tiny scarves, you know, belts over belts. Like I'm doing it all. And then it gradually, as you're just working, like at this point, I'm wearing whatever's comfortable to go into the office just to get me through the day. Yeah. I've lost all of that fun. And so again, it just, this movie hits so close to home. It really does.
But essentially we start to see what her life looks like at 30. She's friends with one of the six chicks still. They work together as like magazine editors for Poise, the magazine she was obsessed with. So of course she's thinking, this is my perfect life. I made it. I'm working for the magazine I was obsessed with. I'm friends with the girls I was obsessed with. Mm-hmm. I have a hot guy in my bed.
She has an autograph from Madonna. I mean,
yeah,
hello.
She's ecstatic.
Yeah.
But then she goes to see Maddie because she's like, of course, I'm still friends with Maddie. And he'll be able to help me through this because she's still freaking out. Yeah. And she learns that her and Maddie have grown apart and they haven't been friends for years and years. I mean, that's heartbreaking.
That is heartbreaking. She starts to go into a panic attack because she's like, how could this even be? I don't understand. She's still like, this life is amazing, but why? How could I not be friends with Matt? I can't even wrap my head around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here comes another scene. Like, Matt's genuinely concerned for her because he's like, how do you not remember anything that happened? And he's walking her through everything, shows the yearbook. And then I start crying again because in the scene where he leaves and then she's like, Matt, arrivederci. Like they're saying that they always so say to each other. And you just know, like, he hasn't said this in forever. He hasn't seen her in years. And he's probably, and like, but she saw him yesterday, technically. And then he goes, au revoir. And then they leave.
Well, first he says, bye, and then she goes, no, Matt, and he goes, she says it again, and he's like, au revoir, like, but I got chills watching that scene.
I was crying, I'm not kidding, I'm crying this whole movie, I really am, it's just so I think sweet. Again, they are so genuine, you are completely feeling their chemistry together, and also just them as actors and actresses, like, it's just so genuine, anyway. We jump from that. I'm crying. And now we jump into one of the best scenes ever, which is her getting ready for the party.
The big work
dream come
events.
True. They have to be basically the whole thing. Did we say that basically this is a competitor to, it's like Poise is against Sparkle. They're competitive magazine companies. And the whole thing is that Sparkle is basically taking their things, one-upping, copying them. It's a whole scandal. And they're like, we need to reinvent ourselves as Poise if we want to survive. So they're having this big party. And it needs to be a successful party. So she gets ready. She has, I mean, I don't even need to explain it. Everyone knows this dress.
Everyone knows the dress, okay. The hairstyle. Didn't it remind you of Love is Blind season 6 reunion, that one girl?
Love is Blind season 6 reunion, who?
The girl that everyone was doing the memes about because she had her hair, like, in the curls and, like, the... Like, it was just like this.
I gotta look
People
this up.
People were like, she's looking like a Polly Pocket. She's looking like...
Which one? Which one? Who was she with?
The evil girl. Sarah Ann. That's her name.
Oh. I don't even remember what she looks like.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's very similar to this.
She was trying to channel this movie.
But yeah, this is an iconic scene. It's humorous. Like, we see her. She's like, oh, I can order drinks now. So she's getting pina colada after pina colada.
Like, of course. Of course that's the drink you start with when you first start drinking. I want strawberry daiquiri. I want pina colada.
When I was on the cruise, I said, always keep a pina colada in my hand.
Okay.
I wish it was socially acceptable to order a pina colada at any given restaurant.
How does that not make your stomach sick after, like, one of them?
You get full from drinking them.
She's downing them. She doesn't care. She's downing them. And then she mentioned the party to Matt. How sweet is this? And Matt shows up. And at the perfect time, because this is when we get the Thriller dance scene, which you can't help but be like, I need to go now learn this dance and perform it in public. Mm-hmm. It's so fun and everyone's going crazy for it. It's like bringing back the 80s. They're all getting into it. And her boss is loving that she made this such a success. Now they jump to when they're going. I think there's like a little montage or something. But like, this is such a funny scene when her and Lucy are out at the bar. And Lucy's like, the guy behind us is so hot and he's looking at you. She's like, should I go talk to him?
He's so
cute. And she gets up from the table and she goes and talks to the 13-year-old boy. And it's so funny. She's like, can I wear your ketchup? And he's like, sure. She's like, actually, I just came over here because I think you're really cute. And he's like, okay, you want to go out sometime? And Lucy's like, okay, get her out of here. Like, but that whole scene, so funny.
Yeah. She finds out that Maddie has a girlfriend.
What? Fiance.
Fiance, sorry.
That's such a major key thing. Fiance.
But yeah, so she finds out that Maddie has a fiance and is planning on moving to Chicago. But he's like, well, maybe. I'm thinking about it.
He's completely changed by this. He's completely changed. He's rethinking everything.
Yeah. And then she starts to, like, learn that she's not a great person anymore. You know, she goes to the office. She has all this hate mail of people, you know, calling her out for being shitty to them. She finds out she's been having an affair with a married man.
Yeah.
Like, all of this horrible stuff is coming out, and she's like,
Yeah, you kind of got glimpses of it at the beginning that she might not be that good of a person. But because she was like, this is all new and amazing, she was loving it. But then she starts to realize, like, wait, I'm not friends with Maddie. I'm not, you know, I'm having an affair. I'm actually a horrible person. Yeah. So now she starts to reevaluate everything, and she realizes that, like, oh, also that Lucy, she caught Lucy, who's supposed to be her best friend, talking shit about her and how she was going to take over the redesign and cut her out of it completely. So she's basically reevaluating everything. And who does she always turn to? She goes to Maddie.
Well, she goes to her parents, and that's when she decides to.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I was crying again during this.
Oh my goodness.
How could you not be? This is so emotional, this scene.
Yeah. She has to do her own photo shoot for the magazine. And so she decides to do a class of 2004, like, yearbook style kind of photo shoot to remind people that
it's so
we should
fun.
All get together and, you know, feel youthful, whatever her message is.
Well, she just wants real people. She's like, everyone's always, these magazines are trying to do all these edgy, crazy things that you don't even recognize who the person is. People want to see a magazine where they see themselves. Mm-hmm. They can relate to it. Mm-hmm. So she hires Matt because Matt's amazing.
He's a photographer. And the photos come out really good. But
they're completely bonding the whole, I can't skip this scene. We're missing a key thing here. They do the whole thing and they're bonding the whole time during the photo shoot. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing like, oh my God, they're snapping right back into place of their old friendship. And they go out on the swings. Cause after a night of looking at the photos, she's like, you know what I really want? I want Razzles. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I haven't had those in forever. They go out and get them and they go to the swing set and they're like, who can jump the highest off of this? Mm-hmm. They jump off. Of course, this is such a tropey scene, right? Mm-hmm. And They basically fly in the air, basically into each other's arms on the ground. Yeah. What does he do? They make out, and it's so perfect. Mm-hmm. But then you can see that he sits up, and he's like, wait, what's happening? Like, he has a fiancé.
He has a fiancé. Mm-hmm. He's really second-guessing it. I mean, you can tell that this has really put a wrench in his plans with this girl, and he is thinking about calling things off. But the snake, what's her name from the six chicks?
Lucy.
So he goes by to Jenna's office, and Lucy intercepts him and tells him, like, oh, Jenna's not going with your photos anymore. She didn't like them. But if just sign this paperwork. Like, sign the photos off to us. So he's feeling betrayed by her. And, like, oh, was this all just, like, a game, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Which, like, Judy Greer, I feel like she's... Is she usually not... I don't see her as the bad person.
She's usually the side character. Yeah, she's usually the fun side character.
Seeing her like this, it's just hard to witness.
Yeah.
So, basically, by the end, Jenna knows that Matt's getting married. And she's like, I have to go and profess my love, basically. Like, mm-hmm. I can't just let him get married. She gets in the car, rushes to, because he's getting married in his childhood house in the backyard, mm-hmm. and it's so sweet. She rushes home. She runs through the door. And she's like, Matt, I can't let you go through with this. And I don't think that you can do it either. Like, I love you. And he basically says, brings her to reality. And he's like, we, you know, chose different paths. And I'm with, I forget her name, but, like, mm-hmm. I care for her. And this is what's happening. Like, it's not like we're 13 anymore.
It's been 17 years.
Yeah.
And he can't just take a risk.
Exactly.
Ongoing with this girl who up until a few days ago was a completely different person.
Mm-hmm. You know me, I'm crying again this whole scene. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, I completely understand, like, I just want you to be happy. And he's like, please don't cry. She's like, I'm gonna be totally fine, don't even worry about me. It's just such a heartbreaking scene. He opens the closet. You see that he still has the gift of the mansion that he made her, the dollhouse. And she's like, please, can I have it? Thank you so much. She takes it. They're crying. It's horrible. She goes outside. She sits down with the box. What am I talking about? She sits down with the with the dollhouse. And a wind blows. And you can see she closes her eyes and she makes the wish. And all of a sudden, thank the Lord, we snap back to her being in the closet on her 13th birthday. And this time, when Matt opens the door, she doesn't scream at him. She runs into his arms and kisses him. And this is so good. She grabs his hand and she's like, come on, we're going to be late. And he's like, late for what? And they run outside and it's their wedding day and they're 30 again. It is so good. It is so good, Ash. Ugh. Like, I don't even know what to say.
It's good. It's really good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you see them getting a house together, and that house is the freaking pink dollhouse. The
dream house that he made her.
Yes.
Which, that's crazy. How do you even find that?
He freaking made it happen. I don't know.
It is so sweet. I was thinking it's a little unfair because... she knows that he's going to grow up to be hot and successful and everything she would ever want in a man.
That shouldn't matter. What matters is that, like, she realized her best friend in the world is the person for her. Mm-hmm. No matter what he looks like.
She realized that without him in her life, she becomes someone she doesn't like.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It's very sweet.
I can't. It's almost too much where... this is something that I don't throw on all the time because it's so emotional. Because
it really has a lot of coming of age elements where you're learning mm-hmm. what's important in life and how to, you know, maintain your values and who you are and how to be yourself mm-hmm. as you're, like, getting older in the world with all these outside pressures. So it does have those coming of age elements that make me very emotional.
Mm-hmm. And then they just play it so well, the two of them.
Like,
so.
It's absolutely a rom-com, but when I first heard it was on the bracket, I was like, I guess it does. It, like, I thought to myself, is it a rom-com or coming of age? Just because, like, when I don't watch this movie very often, and when I think about, like, how I was feeling when I, like, the last time I watched it, I was like, I thought it was more of a coming of age. But watching it now, it was, you know, it is so focused on him as well.
It's all about the final thing. Yeah, because, like, a deciding factor is if you could take away the romance, is it, like, is the main plot still there? Could it still be a movie if the romance is gone? And that's, like, why we kind of decided if movies should stay or not stay on the bracket. Mm-hmm. And if you took away the romance in this, I mean, she learns who she is and is coming of age, but because of him, because of the romance they have, the friendship, like, it's all because of that.
Let's say we put a girl in the role in their best friends, or even if it was just platonic, like, she, I think, would still learn the same lesson of, why am I not friends with my old best friend?
Maybe.
You know? And maybe come back and be like, oh, I'm appreciating this friendship again. I think it would still work, but they, like, the fact that we're ending on their wedding and them living happily ever after, it is a rom-com, but I do think the coming of age element is bigger in this movie than a lot of rom-coms.
I agree. Definitely.
Okay.
Okay. Now I need to, I have to shut off my emotions now for She's Out of My League, 'cause it's just so completely different. Okay. Let me give you a synopsis. Doing what other rom-coms never dare to do, appealing to the male audience. This movie follows Kirk, a nerdy TSA agent with a dream of being a pilot, but with the self-confidence of a P. I don't know. I just tried to think of a word of low self-confidence. But when he is a normal human being instead of a tool to the hot girl in the security line, she decides to give him a chance. Will this new relationship give him the confidence he always needed but never could have? All right.
Here's the thing about this movie.
Okay, lay it on me.
There is no plot. Like, there is no wrench in the plan. There is no secret being kept. Like, there is no other shoe to drop in this movie.
But
the only conflict in the movie is they start dating, she's hot, and he's not. Like, that's the entire conflict. Like,
but I think that it does try and delve deeper. I think it tries to delve deeper. A lot of these rom-coms, Ash, have literally, we say, no risk. Nothing is happening. There are no consequences to these people's actions in these rom-coms. That's the point of a rom-com.
And what's the consequences in this?
What?
What are the consequences in this movie? How's it?
That's what I'm saying. All these rom-coms have, like, no consequences. No, but
think about every single rom-com. There is a plot element. There is, in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, they're both keeping a secret from each other that is revealed at the end. There is no climax in this movie because there is no, like, actual problem. Like, we're just watching a relationship unfold. Like, think about every 13 going on 30. She becomes 30. Mm-hmm. And, like, but she has to get back. But
what about the wedding date? What about the wedding date?
The wedding date, they're in a fake relationship. That's the shoe that has to drop. The truth has to come out. Like, the climax of the movie is the truth coming out. Every single rom-com needs to have
this conflict. Can kind of see, like, I can kind of see where you're coming from.
Story writing 101. Every movie in general needs to have a conflict that results in a this movie did make me mad, I guess.
You're getting crazy.
No, because I am mad because who created, like, it's literally story writing 101 to have a conflict that needs to be resolved in a climactic way. There is no climax in this movie. There is, they eventually get into an argument, and that's it.
Listen, I was trying to play a little devil's advocate who knew it was going to take you that far. I'm with you. I'm okay with that, okay? Like, I think, yeah, that's fair. It really is about their relationship, and the whole thing is that she's hot and he's not hot. Yeah. But I do think that because they don't have any of the major conflicts, they do try and delve a little bit deeper, though, and it's just into how it's the confidence thing. Like, he needs to find confidence in himself. They're at least touching on something that people can relate to, though not a conflict.
Look, I didn't hate this movie. I just thought it was maybe poorly written. But and I think it has. Yeah, that's fine. I think it has.
I think it really is for guys, and it's supposed to be because JC thinks this is such a funny movie. For me, some of the comedy in it was too much. It was kind of like when I was watching Long Shot and Seth Rogen would just take it a little too far for me. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't find this funny. Some of the things in this, I was, again, like, this is maybe like JC's laughing so much and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, so I thought it was funny. I thought like TJ Miller is a funny actor. This guy was in Sorcerer's Apprentice, so he has kind of a dorky funniness mm-hmm. to him. I didn't think it was nearly as funny as some of the other movies we've watched though.
Of course.
I prefer, what's the other boy like rom-com, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is yards ahead of this movie.
See, again, I don't like that one either, but we haven't gotten to that one yet, so you'll get my opinion in the coming weeks. But okay, I mean, yeah, I see where you're coming from. Listen, when you're comparing it to 13 going on 30 and I'm sobbing and getting so emotional all the time, I mean, I don't even know how this one could even have a shot of winning. Yeah. But anyway, we still have to get into it a little bit. So basically, I mean, the thing that's kind of crazy, I mean, when you see the way everyone treats this girl, you're just disgusted. So she's super, super good looking, gorgeous. And played all by these Alice guys, Eve. Yeah, all these guys are just acting like idiots around her and saying all the stupidest stuff. They're just oogling. They like just want to have the opportunity to talk to her. And then this guy, Kirk, is just a regular guy. He's like, guys, cut it out. She forgets her phone in the security bin because he works at TSA. He calls it. This is how they connect, right? Mm-hmm. And so she basically decides to give him a shot because ultimately she explains late in the movie, but we kind of all know she gives him a shot because basically she's only been with good looking guys that are douchebags. Mm-hmm. So she wants to try something new. And the whole time, basically, it's just Kirk's like, I can't believe that this is happening to me. And like, he always has that doubt in his head that, but also I, like his friends are telling him the whole time, this is not going to work out.
His friends are like, you're a 5, she's a 10. It doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up.
Which like kind of is just sad because you should always be building your friends up. I would never in a million years say that to a friend ever, ever. All my friends are 10s. It's crazy. And her friend says it too. Like you shouldn't be with him because he's beneath you basically. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is kind of just like to me about that. But
well, I mean, he doesn't even realize that they're dating at first until her friend is like, no, this is a date. We're on a double date right now. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So again, like the rest of the movie or the next 45 minutes of the movie is them dating and people being like, whoa, what's she doing with that guy? Like that's the whole,
which, you know what I think is so funny is that they have a whole scene where the guys are like, guys, like, you never get hot girls. Name one couple. And it's like, that's all there is gorgeous women and ugly guys.
I was like, I could name a million. Are you kidding me?
Name a good-looking guy with an ugly woman. There's literally no one.
I thought that was ridiculous. Honestly, this is a ridiculous premise because we see this every day.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
That's what I thought.
Successful women with. Thought. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, she meets his family. His family are dicks. Like,
yeah,
they're still friends with his ex-girlfriend. It's just
the
whole
thing's
it's
weird.
A whole weird thing. And they're like, I just don't get why she's with you. Like, there must be like an explanation because she makes good money. She's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She's athletic. And then things start to heat up between the two of them. They're making out on the couch. God.
I can't even talk about this scene.
Again, there hasn't even been a conflict up until now. Just pointing out. And this is 45 minutes into the movie. So they're making out and he is just gets a little too excited and and you know.
He
after like 2 minutes of them,
making out,
like a minute, yeah,
fully clothed, making out fully clothed. He lets it go in his pants, and of course, her parents stride into the house moments later.
Yeah,
like interrupt their session, and he's like, "How do I cover this? How do I?"
Yeah.
Whatever. There's a gross scene where the dog's licking it. I don't know. And then he runs out.
So bad. I can't.
He runs out. This is their first conflict because she's upset that she's like, I met your parents and you didn't even bother to stick around and meet my parents. So this is the first big conflict.
Which, like, that was horrible, though. If she didn't know what happened with him and all of a sudden he won't stand up to greet the dad or shake his hand, say hi to anyone in the family, and he just gets up and runs out. Like, I would be like, what the hell?
So she's upset with him, and his friends tell him to be honest, and he's honest with her, and the conflict is resolved. And they continue to date happily.
But we do get one more little conflict here, okay? Because when they go, basically her party, no, her little sister's birthday party is happening, right? And everyone there, his friends, her family. And when he tried, like, he apologizes to the parents for what happened, first time they met. And she kind of slips it like, oh, yeah, he's in aviation. Because she doesn't want to admit that he's in TSA because she wants to portray him as better than what he is. So that was kind of shitty.
Yeah, we see a little riff.
And this is a big blow up fight. This is another big blow up fight.
Well, but this happens because Molly's ex boyfriend, Cam, who comes in and out of the movie at times, thinks he's like her gay best friend at one point. He tells her, like, never call Molly perfect and be careful when you find out her defect or something, which is just, this was bizarre.
That was really weird.
She's feeling really good about the relationship because he helped her plan this 21st birthday party and he had the idea to help, mend her relationship with her sister. So she's feeling very emotionally attached to him and she's like, he's gonna get it tonight when we get home.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, see each other without their clothes on for the first time. He's making these insecure comments like, oh, I don't work out. Clearly you work out.
People, let's just be secure. Let's try. Everyone's beautiful.
As they like are about to start, he's being insecure again. She's like, well, if it makes you feel better, I can show you something that I'm insecure about. And she shows him that she has slightly webbed toes, which I didn't notice
They should have CGI'd or put more prosthetics on to make them really look webbed because I couldn't even see a web.
But Kirk freaks out, kind of. He's like, really? That's the only, like...
This was weird.
...thing? Like, this is the only insecurity you have? This is the only thing from that's making you not perfect?
He wanted it to be a bigger thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on here.
Like, I've been insecure before, and I've never been like, let me try to find, like, a problem in my partner to make me feel better about. What?
Very, like, is this bizarre. Even a thing? Not for me.
And so he kind of freaks out about it. And, I mean, her ex-boyfriend literally warned him, don't call her perfect. She doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I thought you were different. This happens with all these guys. They call me, say that I'm too perfect or I'm too this, and they're trying to, like, bring me down and make me feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think she's right. She didn't deserve to be...
Yes!
Like, yes. Are you kidding me? She has...
100%.
Other than that one comment to her parents about him being in aviation, which, here's the thing, she knew he was insecure about that, so I don't really fault her too much for it. Because
but it did seem like she was trying to hide it. Yeah. I don't know. It was a little sketchy on her part.
But never have before we seen her be anything other than, like, proud to be with him. Like, yes, she's never tried to hide him before. Like, we've never seen these red flags in her before until tonight.
Yes.
And also maybe his insecurity is rubbing off on her, you know?
Yeah, true.
He's so ashamed
of
it.
If you think it enough of yourself, mm-hmm. then so is your partner going.
He's 100%. So ashamed of his job and stuff that she's probably starting to think, maybe it's something that I should be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he fucked up way more than she did.
Yeah, I agree.
Because she did let, like, in this argument, she did say, like, I chose to be with you because you didn't seem like all these other guys that I've dated in the past.
Yeah.
Which I guess is shitty. But
I guess, but it's like she's just trying something
she's
new.
Not, yeah, she's not saying he's ugly.
Yeah.
She even says you were a 10, but now I'm deducting points for your insecurity, and I'm deducting mm-hmm. points for how you're treating me. I'm like.
Yes. I thought that was a powerful scene when I was like, get it. She was going off on him.
Yeah, I'm team Molly.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So this makes him spiral, right? And now he gets back together with his old girlfriend. He's miserable. I don't even understand why he's doing this. Mm-hmm. They're going on a big family vacation or something. They have to go fly somewhere, right? This is now the big grand gesture. So mm-hmm. he's with the family, and both of their best friends basically decide, we kind of screwed this up. We did have a part in this because we kept telling them that this was never going to work mm-hmm. out. And we kind of made them believe, we kind of egged on the insecurities, yeah. right? So they're like, we need to fix this. So they each get them basically gung-ho to get back together again. But he's stuck on the plane and they have to get Molly through security. They're running, they're dashing. And then one of the friends stops the plane somehow. I forget. They have claim they have mechanical engine issues or something.
The hot friends works on the ground. Which I was kind of like, maybe we should just let him be the main character because he was hot.
Okay. He was in Pan Am. Have you ever watched Pan Am?
Is that a show?
This was like, they had like one or two seasons of this years ago.
I feel like I
loved this
it.
Movie. I mean, I loved this TV show. I was thinking I need to go rewatch it. Anyway, he was in that.
But yeah,
so they stop the plane.
Yeah.
They have him D-board. Run off of it. Yeah. They like, I don't know. They're just like running through the airport until they get to each other. Right.
Well, and so then, he's like running away from the girlfriend, his like new girlfriend.
They're trying to bring lot of comedy.
He's trying to go find her and she's already at the gate. And then they call and mm-hmm. they're like, come back. She was at the gate and he ran right past her.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. They just get whatever. They're together at the end and basically she says like, I'm sorry about like whatever I did. I don't
again? So
listen, just, I truly yeah. I wholeheartedly believe though that if there's an argument, both parties have a part in that and both should apologize.
Yeah.
So
she was the one that apologized and he was just like, I don't know what you said, but yes, I do.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But you're the one that
I thought you were going to come at her for apologizing.
No,
but
no.
I think both of them should have apologized.
Yeah, I think
scene.
Both of them should have apologized. I thought he was more in the wrong than her. And
yeah.
she gave this full speech about how she was all wrong and stuff. And he was just like, okay, let's get back
I
together.
I think this was geared towards guys. I'm telling you.
I don't even get that because I feel like, well, maybe guys are... I feel like guys' insecurities don't come out in this way. At least from what I've seen.
What do you
know.
Mean? Every guy's insecure. Everyone's insecure.
Yeah, everyone's insecure. I guess I've just never seen it come out in this way of like, oh, well, you have webbed toes.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that was absurd.
You know, like,
everyone knows it. But how he doesn't apologize in the end because they're freaking probably trying to... play
yeah.
to the men's egos and be like, she's apologizing and you're back together and blah, 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 blah. Because she just basically says that she doesn't care what he does with his life and she just missed him and wants to be with him. And they get back together and they make out. And then the ending scene, which I didn't mind because he's like, I have a surprise for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes her in the plane. And basically you see that he finally got his pilot's license.
Yeah.
So at least he's gained some self-confidence by being
yeah.
with her. So that was okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts of this movie that I don't mind.
okay, try a little harder.
Like, no, I did. I thought it was funny. Parts of it, at least.
No, this, I mean, listen, I laughed more in this than 13 Going on 30. I'll give it that.
I think it did have good messages on insecurity and, like, not letting yourself get, like, don't put yourself on the scale, because that's,
yeah,
immediately, if you're thinking of yourself in terms of, like, 1 through 10, you're losing. Like, it's, yeah, going to lead to insecurities, and that's going to come out in your behavior, and it's going to make you less attractive in the end.
Totally.
Like, I think it had good, some good messages.
Yeah.
I feel like I've never, like, none of my guy friends have ever been like, oh boy, like, my girlfriend's so much hotter than me. Like, it's like, I've never met a man that's been like that. Like, they're all just like, yeah, that's my girl. Like, look at me. Like,
yeah, they're just flexing true. On people. No, that's true. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, whenever maybe they get a hot girl, they're just like, yeah, I did that. Like,
I would say that's more accurate, but listen, you really couldn't make a movie out of that, so they had to do something.
And maybe this is how they feel on the inside.
Yeah, maybe that's all show. We don't know. Let's get into, do we want to do a couple of the critics, Rotten Tomatoes? Let's see what they had to say.
Okay.
So, 13 Going on 30.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, sure.
Apart from the moment when Garner unselfconsciously flirts with a 13-year-old boy, the film is pretty much devoid of comic spark. Though it seems to have sweet intentions, it keeps sending mixed messages.
Huh. I don't know.
Comic spark.
I agree with the comedy, because I really wasn't laughing. As I've told you a million times, I cried the whole time. So I can agree with that.
The 13-year-old boy scene was funny. I mean, I really didn't think the thriller scene was funny. It's more of a fun scene.
That's what I thought about a lot of the scenes. They were fun.
They're fun. They're charming.
Yes.
Like, I think maybe if it was another actress, like a 30-year-old woman playing a 13-year-old, could lean more into funny, but I don't think that would have suited the movie. Like,
no,
we don't need the
I didn't need it.
We don't need slapstick comedy. We don't need over the top.
No. I think it would have made it.
This is reminding me, have you seen Pen 15?
No, but Claire's always telling me to watch it.
It's funny. And that's basically 30-year-old women playing themselves as 13-year-olds.
So, yeah, that's how to do the comedy with it.
That's but like how you said, would do comedy with
this,
it. Yeah.
This didn't need it. This stood its ground. It was fantastic. It was genuine. It wouldn't have been genuine with comedy.
I will say the one other thing about this movie is I do think there's a little bit of a mismatch between her, like, so her at 30 is supposed to be the same girl she was at 13. And I feel like there was a little bit of a mismatch, because when we see her at 13, she's so insecure and so, like, seeking other people's approval.
Yeah.
And then at 30, it's like, she's so confident.
But because overnight she got everything that she ever dreamed of.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course you're going to be like, I'm amazing.
But I maybe would have liked to see one or two scenes where the insecurity of, like, her realizing, like, oh, the way I'm dressed isn't the way that the cool girl is dressed.
Yeah.
Like, just some self-awareness to bring us back to, like, oh, she's still her 13-year-old self, I guess.
Yeah. But it was just so fun without it. It was just so fun.
Okay, she's out of my league. Even with being an amalgamation of hits and misses, it manages to do the one thing most rom-coms don't: make you think after it's over.
That's it. So we definitely thought about it. We definitely thought about the movie.
Well, the other review you have down is the opposite. A totally acceptable.
Yeah, listen, I pulled random reviews.
Yeah,
I pulled random
a totally reviews. Acceptable, completely forgettable rom-com that will make you laugh a fair few times before floating harmlessly out of your life. So the other one sounds like it's pretty easily forgettable.
I would say that I would lean more towards the second.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I really thought. I mean, we're doing the podcast, so obviously we think about it. But if I wasn't doing this podcast, would I have been like, yeah, maybe
no, and that's,
I am at 10.
But that's No, but that's the thing is that I've watched this multiple times because JC likes it.
Mm-hmm.
And those times I've never had to do it for the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So I truly did not think anything about this. The first time that you said there was no conflict, that was the first time I even processed that. Like, yeah. And I've seen this multiple times. So
I almost watched He's Just Not That Into You because I got those two movies mixed up.
Okay, I don't like that movie.
I don't. I like
this Justin is the Long. One with Justin Long.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I hate that movie.
Mm.
Wait, he's not just. Yeah. I hate that movie. It's not.
But
good.
I almost watched that one because I like for some reason those names just are the same to me.
That makes no sense because they are so different. I feel like.
Yeah. Well, you were just like, oh, it's a boy like boy rom-com, and I was like, oh, I guess He's Just Not That Into You. Maybe is
like, there's no way. I was just
thinking that
is.
Movie the entire time.
Maybe you should just watch it tonight.
No, I'm okay. I don't particularly like that movie either.
Yeah, for some reason it don't like it. All right, let's get into the scoring.
Yeah,
tropes for 13 going on 30.
I mean, so, unique premise.
Well, for a rom-com. They did this, you know, this is a lot of what I saw online, which I agree. This was basically Big, Tom Hanks, Big, when the same thing, it's literally the same thing.
I haven't seen that movie.
Well, so that's just why I'm like, it's not necessarily unique.
Gotcha. But that's not a trope is what I'm saying. Like, the premise is not a trope. Someone being turned, like, aged up overnight isn't a rom-com trope. No. But the friends to lovers, like, the one that you're looking for is right in front of you. That's a trope.
Childhood friends, New York City, you're with the wrong person.
Working for a magazine.
Yes. I still felt like there was tropes, but I didn't think it was over the top.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going in at a 7.5 for this.
I think that's fair. It does feel like a tropey movie.
Tropes, but not too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Tropes for She's Out of My League.
The quirky best friends?
I said quirky best friends. Literally wrote that down. Quirky best friends. There was a semi-grand romantic, right?
I mean, a grand romantic gesture / speech. Forgiveness speech.
Opposites attract. I mean, that's the whole premise. Yeah. I thought that there was a little bit of a meet cute because she lost her phone, right? Like that whole thing at the TSA. I honestly rated these equal, but I might be leaning towards dropping She's Out of My League 1 point. Half a point, 1 point.
No, I would say 6.5.
Okay. 6.5. All right. Quality. Now, I gave 13 going on 30 a 10, but reel me back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It does feel like a quality movie. I was surprised by the Rotten Tomatoes score when I saw
it. It's so quality to me.
Like, it's emotional but fun. I mean,
it's genuine. You learn a lesson from it. Don't take your life for granted. Be fun. Still have that inner child in you. I felt like, and the actors and actresses are so good.
Did I find any flaws in it? I don't think so. Other than I thought there's a little bit of a disconnect between the 13 and the 30. Maybe it is a 10. Is that, that feels crazy.
Whoops. Not crazy to me. 10 it is. Okay. Quality for She's Out of My League.
I mean, like I said, I think it's horribly written. I think the saving grace of this movie is TJ Miller and what's the main guy's name?
I don't even know. I mean, I'm leaning towards 6. I can at least respect that they tried to teach us a lesson on insecurities and just being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say this is high quality by any means.
No.
You're okay with 6?
Yeah.
Okay. Lightheartedness for 13 going on 30. I don't know about this.
It is so deep. Like, throughout.
I mean, it has its fun moments, and it is, like, a fun premise.
Yeah.
It just has a lot of heart.
I was torn because I was crying, but I still felt great during the movie.
I'm feeling 6.5. Is that too low?
I was going to say that. I'm not kidding. We are vibing. We are vibing. Okay. Lightheartedness for She's Out of My League.
This is a pretty lighthearted movie, I would say. Like I said, there's no conflict.
No doubt. No doubt.
I thought Kristen Ritter was funny in this. I haven't mentioned her yet. Yeah. It's just guys being dudes, I guess.
What do we think? Like 9?
Yeah, like
still
a 9.
Like a little uncomfy during some scenes.
I mean, I'm not like happy watching it.
Yeah.
I'm not exiting this movie being like, I'm on cloud 9 right now. You know?
I could do anything.
Like, yeah, movies, like, that's how I rate my lightheartedness, is when I'm leaving the movie just feeling on top of the world.
Yeah. So 9 or?
Yeah.
Okay. 9. Comedy for 13 going on 30. Oh no. It's really going to go down. I wasn't laughing, except for when she picks up the boy.
She picks up the boy. That's funny.
Like we said, it's fun scenes, not comedy scenes.
I mean, I do think it took comedic talent and timing for her to pull off some of these scenes. Like,
yeah,
she had to play the part of... She had to play it so earnestly that it made it fun for, like, the thriller and, you know, some of the other scenes.
I mean, I'll give her a low. I will... Really? I was going to say 6.
I think 6.5. Because there's some movies... Here's the thing. There's some movies where they try to be funny and miss the mark. And I think that should be our low score. This was... It had, like... Nothing missed the mark in this movie. They knew what it was.
Fine. I mean, it's not super high, so I was going to go at 6, so I'm okay with that. Comedy for She's Out of My League. It's obviously going to be higher, but it wasn't a 10, and that's for sure.
Yeah. I just lost my train of thought. The only comedy quote I have written down is, "Excuse me, are you the plane police?" "No, then shut the fuck up." Which is Kristen Ritter. Like, I did think, yeah, I thought they were funny moments.
There was funny scenes.
I think like an 8 maybe for comedy. Is that too high?
I have written down an 8.5. Like, just because I could see that their main focus, like, out of all these different rankings, that was their focus of this, clearly. Yeah. And to some people, they absolutely delivered. To me, I didn't think everything was funny, but that's just not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely, but they tried, and I feel like they executed on most for those people's types of humor.
For those
people. What are we giving? Like JC.
What did I say? Did I say 7.5? No,
you
I said 8.
And I said 8.5. What do you want?
I still think 8 because it's not our humor and we're the...
You're right.
We're the deciding factor. We're the rom com queens.
We decide everything. 8 it is. Okay. 13 going on 30 romance.
10.
I gave it a 10.
I don't know. Is that crazy?
I gave it a 10.
What are we on right now?
It's just,
but
like,
I mean, I just keep going, like, back to the Arrivederci.
Yeah, this was like true best friends, childhood friends. They traveled through time to be together. Like, it just was so emotional. And they clicked immediately once she got back together
with
him.
That's like their chemistry.
It was unstoppable.
It really did feel like one of those real relationships. Like, I'm not talking about romantic necessarily, but, like, you know those friendships where, like, you might go a year without seeing them, and then instantly when you're back together, they captured that so well.
Yes. I mean, that's the only way to
find
keep a relationship going.
We both said 10. It's a 10.
10? Why are you even arguing it? Okay, She's Out of My League, romance. Okay, I will say this. they at least, listen, they struggled with their insecurities and they had some fights. They definitely struggled on that front, but at least they tried to build each other up. Like, though the insecurities got in the way, the end goal was to show each other how amazing they are.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Do we think that this couple would still be together 2-3 years down the line? Like, because it was a lot of these comedy scenes and not a lot of what do these two people actually have in common? What are they
doing
in their day-to-day?
Well, the times that we saw that were only as montages. So we were led to believe that they were having a great time and clicking and connecting, but we never really saw those things.
And most of the things they did together was, like, they would go to an event, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because she is a party planner. And so she would just bring him along to these events, and they would just kind of walk around it. Like, that was their main activity that they did together.
But they did have some, but, like, during the montage, chemistry, you saw that they were going out together.
I don't know if they had what it takes to, like, last as a couple. And the other thing
is, I would say I'm iffy on that. I would say I'm iffy. I wouldn't say completely they are not going to, and I wouldn't say completely they're going to end up together. Like, I am definitely down the middle. Because, like you said, I just don't know enough.
Well, the other part of it is the whole thing is that she's so perfect. And honestly, no one is completely perfect. I would have liked, like, we never saw any vulnerability from her other than the webbed toe.
That's so true.
Like, we don't, like, does she have a bad relationship with her? I don't, like, there wasn't much depth to her character other than her being perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like.
That's true.
I guess there wasn't a lot of depth to either of their characters.
We did learn the background of her, that she went to become a lawyer and then she dropped out because what she really wanted to do was a party planner, and her parents were not happy with that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That was vulnerability.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't feel like crazy sparks between these two.
It felt like 7.5.
A safe relationship. Like, they were just doing this because it was safe.
Yeah.
I
mean, she literally says that, so.
Yeah, I'm saying 7.
All right. I'm okay with it. Whether we did 7 or 8 or whatever, it wasn't going to win. Because She's Out of My League is coming in at a 36.5, and 13 Going on 30 is a 40.5. Though lacking in comedy and lightheartedness, the quality and the romance really bumped that sucker up.
Wow.
And it's moving forward.
I mean, no surprise there.
It really wasn't, to be honest. So I guess that wraps it up. Don't forget to check out the bracket on our website. The link is in the description. We'll also be posting the final scores.
Send us your thoughts on this week's episode at thetropereport@gmail.com.
Or check out our Instagram and Twitter @thetropereport, where we post quotes from each episode.
If you want even more Trope Report, check out our Letterboxd account, where we are posting reviews of the movies we have watched.
Next week, we will have our bonus episode, which means we're officially through 3/4 of the bracket and only have 1/4 left. Ash, I'm sad. That's crazy.
That's insane.
No, like,
that's actually insane. Crazy. How do we do this?
What are we going to do with ourselves once this is done?
I don't know, cry?
Just watch 13 Going on 30 and cry?
I've been trying to convince Tara to do a bonus episode on anyone but you. So please write in and peer pressure her. We will have Paris and her sister on if we do it.
I still haven't seen it.
I want to say their last name so bad because, like, that's what we call them. But I want the sisters on. I watched the movie with them and it was electric.
I heard good things. My friend Rachel called me the other day and said that it was great. So maybe. We'll see.
All right, guys. Until next time.
Keep it romantic.